for two aging mid-level Hollywood celebrities who think a podcast is a good idea and who ask the eternal question to fill the hole in their soul. Did we do it? Here they are, Cage and Kevin!
I've got you, Kyle. We're recording. Wait, let me put on my podcast beanie.
Maybe this is the one where beanie. You know.
What?
Maybe no beanie.
You're saying no beanie. Saturday, no beanie. Beanie-free Saturday. No, no, I'm just brushing it a bit, you know what I mean? Make sure it look good.
What?
Jumping Jack Flash.
Oh.
Only because.
I can't, you know, new strings, I can't get it in tune. It's so frustrating. I'm sorry. We'll do that.
Is that true that you have difficulty with new strings because they're so taut?
They need to be stretched.
You should get your guy over there to stretch them.
I know.
You're outing me
that I have a stretch therapist. Is that what you're doing? how many listeners do we have now? How many? This is crazy.
Let me check the metrics.
Do you have the thing?
I was thinking
what was funny last time, and I don't know if it'll be last time, but when we looked at the IMDb.
Yeah.
And then I regretted the rankings.
Well, you were ahead of me anyway, so why did you regret it? You won. Congratulations. You were barely ahead of me, but...
No, I regret that we didn't look up. We didn't look Jack up. I wanted to see.
Oh, God.
Everybody could feel that.
He must be in the top 500, I would think. You want me to look it up?
Well, now that you said that, because I'm sure he's...
Well, just in case...
I'd say top... People, all right, here I'm going to say...
People don't. We compared our IMDb Jack Pro
listens to
ranking.
The first 15 minutes of the show, so I'm going to say he's top 10. All right, probably top 50.
You're saying Jack is top 50?
No, I said top 10.
Top 10? No, I don't think so. Top 50. No. You're overestimating.
But if Jack's listening, he's for sure top 10. He's one of the biggest stars in the world.
But let me explain to you: your IMDb Pro rating doesn't necessarily equate to the size of your talent. How does it even work? What is the algorithm?
What are you talking about?
I'm going to give you three guesses. I'm looking at it now.
God. Oh,
Jack
no.
Black, IMDb Pro rating. We've already discussed Kyle. You're about 50. You're about 6,000. I'm about 6,800.
I'm saying Jack's huge. I'm saying he's 37.
Nope. As I said, 755. Dude, there's a lot of young stars out there. Do you know who's number one?
Right. Oh, who's beast?
Do you have any idea who's number one? By the way, it also goes with like what is happening, what people are watching.
Right.
The IMDb Pro reflects the zeitgeist.
Do they factor in YouTube hits and stuff? Is that?
It's how many people visit your page along with some other. Pretty much.
That's it. Well, who? Well, that's no metric of anything.
That's why a lot of people will put their IMDb page on their various social medias so that people click on it.
What?
I should do that.
What am I doing? What? Should we do that?
Did we do
it? No. But when you see that, you go, oh my God.
It's a little desperate. I don't like it when
I see.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
the
like
same
it.
Guy. Remember when they used to wear SAG jackets? Remember a silk jacket from SAG? I'd give anything for one of those. I saw it. I remember this was like back in the 80s, I think, or night. Remember when you could buy
of course
merch, SAG merch?
Yeah, it's like the Laker jacket.
Do you remember the silk jacket?
I used to go to this great, obviously it was shut down during the pandemic, at the DGA, the Directors Guild. They had the SAG Film Society. Films that were not yet released on the big screen at the Directors Guild. The money goes to the SAG fund and it's kind of a charitable donation and you get to see these great films on the big screen. And you can't eat. You have to stay till the end of the credits. You know, it's a bit quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
No one.
Yeah,
and but you can a lot cinema. Of people respect the cinema, but a lot of people there were SAG members, but perhaps haven't worked since the 1980s or around that era. So I would see a lot of jackets referencing shows: Home Improvement, Eight Is Enough, Dynasty.
And they were wearing it.
Oh yeah, sure. Wow. They're repping.
What do you mean? Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. I don't know. Like, oh yeah, I just happen to be wearing my old.
show. It is enough jacket.
And they were kind of, some of them, hey, I saw you on the Runaways or whatever it was. I'm like, I remember you from Dynasty. I see you're wearing the jacket.
Yes. You might as well wear name tags.
Can you wear your own show merch? Or band's merch?
Well, that's an old thing. You're never supposed to wear your own merch. But that being said, then you always oft times see the drummer wearing. Like I would,
why are you?
I always see Tommy.
I'm a drummer.
Tommy Lee. Yeah, for some reason.
Is he wearing Motley? Tommy Lee wears the Motley Crue.
Yeah, there's some guys just go proud. It's just, you know what? And I know the feeling when you run out of clothes. It's like, I know there's some clothes over there at that merch table. And I know it's kind of mine.
Guest on the podcast, our first guest, my daughter. First,
we've never had a guest. Hello. Please identify yourself for the podcast.
Yeah. What are you guys celebrating up there?
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. And you got my treats that I sent?
Yes, we did.
Do you like any of those?
Yeah, I love them.
Have you heard the Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler?
Shout out to Urban Remedy. They are very healthy but delicious. Vegan organic treats.
Not interested.
Have you heard the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song?
No. Yeah.
All right. Love you.
Peace.
Bye. We have our first guest.
The Hanukkah. Yeah. Yeah. We could see the generation gap really exposed.
She's heard the song. She knows it. The Hanukkah song is legendary. It spans generations.
I know it does.
So, but I was saying to you, I sent over the that picture of Jim Morrison wearing a t-shirt that said, "Hello, I love you." And it was kind of shocking to me. I was like, I can't believe Jim Morrison was wearing his own t-shirt with his own lyric, unless it was photoshopped.
Well, it could have been kind of ironic, you know.
Hello.
It could have been kind of.
I love you. Won't you tell me your name?
Hello.
So
no, wait, that sang together there. Did that record like that?
Let's try
it. A blotch out.
Hello. I love you. Don't you tell me your name. Well, yes, we're recording together, but I don't know what it will sound like when we play it back.
But then I still go back to crosstalk.
I think it's different with music because the music, the volume or something.
I know, there's lag time. We were singing lightly. I thought it worked. One.
Yeah.
Hello. Two, three, four.
Hello.
Hello.
I love you.
Let me switch keys on me. Oh, my God.
All right, sorry. I was going quiet. Here we go. One, two, three, and.
Hello.
Hello.
I love you.
You. Won't you tell me? Forget it. It's a meltdown. This ostensibly is our third podcast. We don't know the numbers. It doesn't matter. Numbers don't matter, Kyle. But I don't know when this will be out in the ether. And I just learned a new word today called evergreen. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-mm.
I was talking to
the tree.
Well, of course, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a podcast producer. And he was saying, well, if your podcasts are evergreen, you might want to get them out. If not, you can record them and put them out at any time. And I said, yes.
Contextually, you're saying if they're timeless and forever.
Right. Evergreen means actually you're referencing something of the time.
Oh.
I had never heard that phrase before. Have you?
Never heard it. Oh, well, evergreen are old trees that are forever trees. Why would that be a reference to
no idea.
Something that's just in the moment today?
I pretended that I knew what it was, but I had to say,
it makes sense.
Well, I had to email back and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
These are old redwoods. That means you.
We generally chatted about stuff that is not evergreen.
What are we talking about? Topical. What are we talking about that's topical right now?
Something that you mentioned to me earlier that I want to hear about. There is.
Well, that is timeless Hollywood banter.
But is it? Okay. There's a charity reading coming up, right? Yes. It's for charity of Elf.
Yeah. It's already become. Yeah. It'll be already. It's already become a good story.
Right. He was saying, like, if you're talking about a Dodger game, he's like, we're not talking about any Dodger games.
Well, that's where it all goes south.
Did you see that hit last night by Davey Lopes? In the 80s.
We could never talk about sports, I don't think.
Well, we're knowledgeable about sports, but yes, it's too evergreen.
It's too evergreen. I disagree with that phrase. Dude, it's just part of our vernacular now. It is too evergreen. You're right.
I had never heard it. I was really excited that I heard something.
Hey, we're rookies. It's a podcast game, Kevin. That's the thing. We don't know what we're doing. That's what makes it good.
What's hello. Up? I love you. Won't you tell me your name?
Why are you stopping?
Because hello. You... Because it was I love a, you, there was a delay. Tell me your name. See, hello. It's a delay when we're singing. I don't know why. That's why I'm not. I'm stopping to try to let you catch up.
Okay, wait a minute, Mr. Zoom. Wasn't there another platform that does music?
Well, Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead was trying to come up with some technology where the lag is. You need an ISD.
But is he smart enough?
I mean, he's got a team. He Bob and his team.
Yeah, he's more of a concept.
His guys. He's got his guys. It's like your guys. You got a lot of guys, and they're trying to come up with something. But there's a lag, so you need an ISDN line, and you know maybe they've cracked the code. But
did Mickey's dream of Planet Drum ever come to fruition?
It's so funny you say that, and this was not planned. But I have put my computer on some books because I need the Zoom to be higher. Planet Drum. I have the book.
Oh no! What are the odds?
Just say a page.
I wish I could be a little more.
Mickey Hart, the drummer for the Grateful Dead and incredible percussionist. Just say a page number. Page 112. The Dance of Death.
Ooh.
Death is the ultimate edge. It dances with each of us. The Tibetans use human bones and skulls in their rituals to remind them that one day we will be the skeletons that others are using for drums and drinking cups.
Wow.
So somebody will be playing with you at one point, according to Mickey, using your bones.
Yeah. Now, do we have to hear the, I mean, we have to hear it, a Dead concert or Dead and Friends?
Dead and Company. Well, Spiker, can you play us a little Planet Dead drum right now?
Johnny, you got that queued up?
I love Planet Drum. Listen, I love the drums. So, this morning you had rehearsal.
No, we had a rehearsal for the Zoom charity table read for Elf.
Do you know what the charity is offhand or not yet?
Yes, for Georgia Democrats.
Oh, right. Hopefully at this when this when
we
this
won't
is
know
out there,
we don't
we'll
know right now. But if we do win, it'll be because of this reading.
Yeah.
But there was, of course, the instantaneous backlash I saw. Oh, my God. We got to get rid of now another holiday movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
people
they took that
are
away,
boycotting
too.
Boycotting Elf because of the reading.
Yeah.
Those Hollywood snowflakes.
What you going to do?
Will Ferrell. Wow, there's already backlash. Well, whatever. You know, soldier on. You're used to backlash. You and Jack did Rock the Vote.
I am not. Nobody's used to it. Well,
so. No. But I mean, you did that. You did the awesome Rock the Vote, the Time Warp song, which was amazing. And there was some backlash, right, by some conservatives. We won the election. So you know what? It made a difference. I'm going to say you pushed it over the edge, sir. You pushed it over the edge.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely, not for very much longer. I've got to keep control.
So they're doing this reading tomorrow on Sunday, 1 o'clock, even though it doesn't matter what time. And then today, Saturday, they did like a tech rehearsal run through, you know, make sure everything. And then also do a few scenes.
So you didn't read the whole script. Yeah. You didn't read the whole script through. It was just more like, let me see your setup.
But I was afraid of that. Of course, strangely, I was hoping that it would just be, you know, quick tech through and bop, bop, bop. Yeah, my mic works. Okay, bing, bang, boom.
Thank God you have the Shure microphone, by the way, the Shure microphone that you're using.
Oh, yes, the Shure. When we want to do clear sound, we use Shure.
I'm using the Yeti by Blue Microphone, the Yeti. So they just wanted to make sure your microphone was working?
No, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping for a quick tech, or even if I have to do it. Like, who's going to, you know, do we have to rehearse for this thing? I mean, it's just a reading. You got the script and you're on Zoom and you read it. What's to go over? But I thought, want to be a good soldier, get in there, see what they're doing.
Did they send you an updated, clean draft of the
script?
Well,
at first they didn't, and they said they did. It's like, here's the updated draft,
and there was no Zoom link or draft, so I had to write back, but I thought, I'm gaslit. Wait. But they did. They forgot to send it to me. But I did get the script, which is immediately the outdated. Okay, if you don't have the newest version of the script.
Like, oh, what God. Number is that? 1.7. 1.7.
Five lines in the whole thing. I mean, I'm not even in this movie. It's so ridiculous.
And by the way, why is there a new version? Is it? Are they making edits for the reading or... Okay, yeah, all right. Exactly. So you said, I don't have the right version. They sent you the new version.
But first, before that, all of a sudden, there's 20 boxes that I'm just hanging out. And everyone, it was the classic Zoom awkward where no one really wanted to say anything. But the boxes were insane. All of a sudden, there was Ed Asner was on there.
Legendary. Wait, which part was Ed Asner? Is he reading the Jimmy Conn?
Ed Asner plays the Papa Elf. He plays the Papa Elf.
Oh, in the movie, of course. Of course. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, of course.
Ed Bob Asner's Newhart, at 90. God, and they're both killing it. They're both killing it. I mean, you just never know. At a certain age, you go, well, I hope they're, you know, ready to go.
Man, they were killing it in the reading. So you did
in the reading. Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So you're jumping ahead.
Yeah, we read some scenes that they wanted to 15 pages, and then at the beginning,
I've heard Bob Newhart on some podcasts and some interviews, and he hosted a podcast recently. The guy is sharp as a tack. Still so funny. He can turn a phrase.
Great. But I was thinking, you know, his kind of brand, that droll sort of underplay, really ages well. And it all depends. I mean, his low energy kind of delivery, I thought, that's a good one to go grow old with, as opposed to, say,
Jerry Lewis.
But at every busy airport, there's one guy, and his job is to keep track of everything. And he is called the traffic control officer. He has a radar screen in front of him, and he wears a headset like this. Oh, okay, all right, United 209. Yeah, we have radar contact. You're looking very good. Pan American 715. You haven't seen United 209 up there anywhere, have you?
Well, first we had to get everyone on there, and no one is talking. No one's saying anything.
No one's saying hi. Did anyone say
Ed
hi?
Asner. Oh, well, I mean, he's kind of, and Ed is, you know, he's just really old. Save your money. And each person that would come in, he might know, like, how you doing, Bob? But it was a veritable who's who. I mean, all of a sudden, it was Ken Jeong was there.
Wait, Ken wasn't in the movie. What's he doing?
No, that's the thing. We had celebrity. Oh, here was the first thing. Of course, the first guns, the big guns, the stars of the movie weren't there for rehearsal on Saturday morning.
No.
But Will's not there.
Will Ferrell's
not there. No, he's not there. And Amy Sedaris. It's like the three sort of star people.
Jimmy Conn,
I have a feeling, might be too old at 80, or Republican, and just wouldn't. I think too. So there was a lot of subs.
So Ed Helms, play the dad.
Jeong, who played Buddy at first? Dude, John Lithgow was filling in for James Conn.
Oh wow!
I know. All of a sudden, no, I'm telling you, all of these squares. Mary Steenburgen was a square.
Well, she was in the movie. She played James Conn's wife. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they got, you know, as many as they could. We had Andy. Andy Richter was there. Matt Walsh. I forget he's in the movie.
Oh my goodness. So did you have a moment with Matt? You know Matt. Yeah,
he was texting me because, you know, Ed kept losing his place, and he had, you know, like an assistant. What? No, you try to, where are we? It was full classic Zoom. We've seen it 100 times.
I just saw Ed in the
your thing?
Cobra Kai, the kind of continuation of the Karate Kid story. And he plays...
Oh, yeah? He was working?
He plays the father of, you know, the nemesis to Ralph Macchio's character.
How is it?
And Johnny's dad and stepdad. And he's great. He is great. So was Favreau in the Zoom box too?
No, there was a strange. There's also a strange. There's a Jon Favreau podcaster, or there's another Jon Favreau. Spelled J-O-N.
Of course, yeah. He's on Twitter,
right?
To be confused with Jon Favreau.
Right. And it's a terrible lot in life for both of them.
Pod Saves America, which is a big podcast. VoteSavesAmerica.com. He has 1.4 million followers.
Oh, right. He's a big political.
And here you go. One day left to hit our fundraiser target for the Georgia Democrat. Donate below, and you can also watch the Elf for Georgia reading Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time starring a bunch of really great actors.
What's the minimum? Because my mom didn't want to pay anything.
And not me playing Jon Favreau playing a doctor. Make sure you see at Gaslink, tear it up.
What?
No, he didn't write that. But that is your Twitter at Gaslink.
Yeah, I don't know how to use it.
I'm at Kevin Wiseman. Donate now to attend the Elf reunion with Will Ferrell and Zoe
Deschanel.
I'm looking to see how much it is. $30.
Well, it's adorable.
Most people are chipping in $30. So everybody's in their boxes. Did anyone say hi to you, Matt Walsh?
No, briefly. I did. I felt like I did get the biggest laugh, though, because then the producer's coming on, and
yeah,
we're getting started, and we're waiting. We're just waiting on a few people here. Bob Newhart was late.
Right.
And, and of course, you know, she goes like Will and Zoe and anyone else who's a star on this is they're not here right now. They go, and Bradley Whitford called, and he's he can't make it. And I said, oh yeah, well, he's a real team player. And it really busted up all the boxes. Everyone was on board. But you can't, because you have to pick your spots. There's so many boxes and they're all filled with like heavyweights. I'm like, oh god, yeah. I shouldn't say anything. But yeah. I saw an opening, and I thought, Bradley, nobody likes that guy. It just seemed like he was another guy, like, too cool for school. Of course, I only wanted to see.
What are people doing? We're all staying home. It's a pandemic.
And honestly, it was pretty fun, just like, you know, having a family reunion on Zoom.
Sure.
Just for a good cause, which is another thing. That's how – there's the only way these things could happen. It was like if it's a charity, of course, because you're just not going to round up a bunch of celebs to do anything.
I mean, Will is he's a gamer. He's going to come in blazing tomorrow. You know that.
Oh, God, of course.
Well, listen, you know what? As we say amongst my people, you're a mensch, Kyle, for doing this. It's a mitzvah.
Then, you know, after they gave us the rundown on what was going on, then we read like 20 pages towards the beginning and then 20 pages towards the end. neither of which I was in. No, I have a very small part.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but like I said, I was having fun just watching Ed lose the page and, and Bob. Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was pretty darn fun.
Yeah.
So, and it'll be really fun with everybody, and you know, like opening night energy, as we say.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is my even my character name? Well, I'm good, but you don't have to memorize. Then I'm really on point.
Do you want to do you want to practice with me? What's your line? Let's figure.
They said it on my gram today. I guess it's the asparagus. A tribe of asparagus children, and they feel self-conscious because of the way their pee smells. So I was pitching a book, I think.
Everybody's pushing small town rural. Farm book would just be white noise. But what about this? A tribe of asparagus children, but they're self-conscious about the way their pee smells.
Right. I remember you pitching the book. Well, here's the question. Are you going to try to replicate
it? Was that box that you did. I thought of it before I got to set. I thought I knew. I saw that we were pitching books, children's books in the scene with Peter Dinklage. Name dropping. Oops, dropped it. But he's in that scene where Will.
Was Dinklage at the reading today?
Oh my God. He wasn't there either.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm saying Emmy weird. Like, I'm saying won the Emmys. Republican too.
No.
Why not?
No way. Listen, he's won a bunch of Emmys. He's not coming to the rehearsal.
Maybe no, I totally get too cool for school for rehearsal, but I didn't even see. No, I don't think he's there. I think
who's going to play his part?
Larry McRooney. I don't know anybody.
I'll do it.
Artie Jackson. Flinty McFlintock.
Yeah, listen, suggest me. I'm in.
Zank Hofferman. You're in. Oh my God, I put a call in.
Put a call in.
That's right. You do tell the story of the Dinklage.
Well,
of course, I just gave away. I gave away the story.
I actually was at one of those DGA screenings. I was sitting there with Brian Kite, and there was a woman in front of me, and she kept turning around and we're sitting, so you can't really see us. We're not standing, we're sitting. So you're only seeing when you're in the movie theater, like, you know, from the chest up. And she says, she keeps looking at me. I'm like, oh God, here we go. 12 o'clock. Fan alert. And you know how you can the radar.
Oh yeah, you do get the energy.
Yeah. And she's like, excuse me, yes. Are you an actor? I am, yes. Yes, thank you. I mean, I don't know if I said thank you. She just asked if I was an actor. You were wonderful in The Station Agent.
And you thought, well, of course, Christian Bale.
Well, no, The Station Agent was Peter's first movie with Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, okay.
It was one of Bobby's first movies. It was an independent movie, and it was probably around the year, I'm going to say 2003, 2004. Yeah, and it was an excellent movie. Peter's amazing in it. But I was like, wasn't in The Station Agent. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I think I just said, I wasn't in The Station Agent. I didn't say it so aggressively. She was like, I'm so sorry. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, who did you think I was in The Station Agent? And then she was like, excuse me, who did you think I was in The Station Agent? And then Brian leaned in. He was like, because I knew who she thought I was. And for some reason, no disrespect to Peter, I took some offense to it. And Brian leaned over and he was like, just let it go. That's all true. Because I'm like, did you think I was Bobby Cannavale? Did you think I was Bobby Cannavale? I think I even said that. Because I don't think you did, because Bobby's like 6'4", you know. Also a great actor. God, but,
that is anyway. A wonderful story.
That is a true story. That is a true story.
Have I been mistaken for anyone? No, nobody cares.
You've been mistaken for people before, haven't you?
I get way more for a long time. I guess I just didn't look like me. And or maybe facial hair or something, but I definitely stopped looking like me. Because if I was
the classic Cage,
I would never.
Yeah.
Are you? Wait. Do you know the roundabout? Do you know about this band? Oh yeah. I mean,
did you say I've heard? Did you say like, oh, I've heard of them? Or did?
But
you
it does give me an opening to get out. If I, you know, a lot of times it was when I was playing cards.
Oh, right. Because I don't think contextually, why would you be playing card? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a fish out of water, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. It's open to everybody.
I've gone with I've said a few times, like, yes, I can't believe it's me either. When like someone's staring at you and like, can't, they just like kind of jokingly, like they just, gave them they can't believe they're talking line. To you. What?
Give them a canned line. I know I can't believe I'm me either. A little flex.
All right, we're cutting that part out. That doesn't reflect well on my everyday demeanor.
Uh-oh. That's what you got to leave in, Kevin. That's the warts and all. That's what the people want.
That's what the people want.
But it was, I got to say, it was pretty fun when Bob was rolling or Ed Asner as Santa. I mean, it was, and then it is a well-written script. When you do the reading, you're laser-focused on the writing, of course.
And I've had a couple of people tell me about the documentary on Netflix. It's a series, Making of Cinema documentary, and Elf is the first one.
Called? Like, what cinema meant to us, or how it changed us, or?
What's the is name? That what it's called?
It's a dumb name. But then, now this is the holiday movies that made us who we are. Or whatever. Mm. It's pretty, they're pretty, you watched them.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Oh, you saw the one about Elf. Did you make
oh, yeah.
Were you in
Are you kidding me? Once I heard I was in a documentary, a movie that I was in for being a
classic. So that Instagram post that you posted, that was from the documentary?
Yeah, I just took that off the doc.
Oh.
Because it was so funny to me. I had a post where they were celebrating. Jimmy Kahn couldn't get it up for a take. He was supposed to be mad. Yeah. And then legend has it that Favs and his genius whispered into James Kahn's ear, don't forget your motherfucking Sonny Corleone.
Oh, wow.
And that got him. But what they didn't know is that I told Favs, it's like, just... I said, I saw you having trouble, and I was sitting in the chair because I was in the thing. I just said, yeah, just tell me it's fucking Sonny Corleone.
Dude, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow! I thought I thought you were joking on your Instagram. So you whispered that to Favs, telling me he's fucking
sending. Yeah. Because wow. You know how you're like, you're there as an actor, and you're kind of like, you know how he's like, tell him he's like, pretend he's flying an airplane. You know how you do like,
yeah, of course, of course, yeah.
And then I was like, practical. And then when he was having trouble getting angry or whatever, you get to that place, I was like, come on, dude. You're that guy, and that's his brand. It was kind of odd anyway, but it's like,
and that next take is the one that he went,
well, legendarily, you know. I mean, I remember,
dude, saved the movie.
I saved the movie. Yeah.
There are just certain things that can help you as an actor. And it's usually something active like that. Like those small little things kind of can take you from.
Well, they can take you out of what you're doing into something else that's actually more like, flying a plane is more like being something else. So you forget about what you're trying to do. It's kind of, getting out of yourself. Or, but it is an active choice sometimes.
Yeah, getting out of yourself for me is just making it either about the other person or being active. Like, what is something active I can do? Which is why a lot of times I like to have, I'm good with props or eating, or because I like to focus on something else, because then I feel, you know who's really good at that? Brad Pitt. He's always eating. And I know it's kind of a trick, not in a bad way, it's a great trick, because it makes it not about what he's saying for him.
Of course.
He can kind of focus on whatever he's doing, and then it just makes it a trick,
Kevin. Is that a trick?
It's more of a tool, I'm gonna say. From the toolbox.
Yeah. You know, the famous George Raft, you remember from the gangster movies.
Yeah, I don't know the story.
His famous. He was the guy that flipped the coin.
Yeah.
Hey, the gangster from the gangster.
Yeah. I know who he is, but what's the story? You're saying
that was his kind of thing, and that sort of was his moniker.
You made me think of Cagney, and we always talk about that, how like his whole thing was like, plant your feet, look at the other
spread actor. Your legs. You got to spread your legs.
Spread
your legs and tell the truth.
Well,
of course, Brando with the cat, scene one, Godfather.
Well, those.
You coming here, my daughter's wedding?
Was the cat not there in the first couple takes, or he used the cat from the beginning? We don't know. I wonder.
You know, I think that is known, and I don't recall, but it could have been plopped in.
There's a new director's cut of Godfather Part 3, and supposedly he moved Coppola.
It didn't get better.
You didn't see it.
I did see it in the movie theater.
You didn't see the new cut.
No, but you know what I did see was Apocalypse Now Redux.
And
what they needed was the Redux back to the original version. It's kick-ass. Oh, my God.
The famous plantation scene for 45 minutes.
It's like this podcast. We've had a few plantation scenes during this chat.
Well, thank God you got your finger on the scissors.
Sure. This thing's going to end up being a tight 12 minutes. Do you think that De Niro and Brando like saw each other at the cast party for Godfather Part 2? Because they didn't really have any scenes together. I'm thinking it was kind of like, Marlon. Hey, Marlon.
Who was it?
You were great, man. Oh, man. I wish we had more scenes together.
Really good. Well, that's a nice little bit of business. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.
You're right. Hey, did you try the shrimp that they brought out?
Yeah, I'm trying to lose my weight, though. Yeah,
man, you look great. What do you mean?
I look good. I mean, I have so many kids.
You have a lot of kids. How many kids you got now?
I got over 62 kids.
62 kids.
Have you been to my island? My island. I got my own island.
Hey, I'd love to come to the island one time. You're going to let me know.
Yeah.
What are we going to? Yeah, we're going to go swim. Wow, that was pretty good.
That's pretty good. I love that we critique our improv.
I mean, it was great.
We only have one character. We do two characters.
In my mind, I was hoping it was going to be legendary, but it was more. It was just good. It was good. It was solid. She's a good girl. Your Instagram post, which I felt was one of the best of all time, I don't know.
God, and then my mom, once again, did not recognize the song. I mean, she loves the Rolling Stones.
She didn't recognize Jumpin' Jack Flash.
And she was, like, not impressed. Listen, she is my biggest fan.
Yeah.
She listens to everything. She listens. But, yeah, I said, Mom, and she's always bugging me.
Your fans, they just want to hear the music. Just play songs.
Hey, did you see the fire? No. And so
wait, so but you didn't answer my question. Do you have to call her each time, or can you text her?
No, she didn't text. At first, she called, or I got a terse email. She said, well, she was out of the loop on the...
You don't tell me you're on television. What do you do?
It was about the elf reading.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, it's a charity. Just give some money. And we're like,
I'm not going to give any money.
Oh, okay. Can I pay for your mom to see the reading? I will.
Well, that, but I said, maybe I'll try to get you on a list, even though it's a charity, or I'll pay. Okay.
I don't know. By the way, I will be paying the money because I'll.
Right. We got to get Carol in. But she also does not like Will.
Oh, really? She doesn't like
Will Ferrell. She's a big knot. I mean, we've had many, many discussions.
What is her?
Because Will for us, I mean, he's a comic legend.
He's a legend.
Will Ferrell. And
he's the comic, he's the guy school. of our time, you know, of our generation. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just too much. And then, you know, we've done benefits together. Once you've done benefits together.
Yeah. That's right. I remember there was a benefit at the Will Turn. What was that benefit
tsunami.
For?
Tsunami.
Oh, the tsunami.
Mm-hmm. That was our first one.
That was 2000 and...
This is the benefit show. We figured it out now.
Yeah,
this
benefits.
Is the benefit show.
Benefits. Friends with benefits.
Friends with Bennies.
And that was a legendary show, man. Who was at that show? It was Dr. G, Dave Grohl. Yeah. Right? So the Foo Fighters, Eddie Vedder.
It's Josh Homme.
I remember him singing. Who?
Josh Homme.
Oh, Josh Homme from the great Queens of the Stone Age.
It was a veritable who's who. Beck played.
Beck played. Oh, my God. It was the greatest show.
It was.
I'm a music once guy. Again. And you know I love the music.
Did you go?
Of course I was there. Dude, I have not missed a show.
I thought my mom was my biggest fan, but it's
you. It's me. And I send the same terse emails when there's a show coming up. And I'm... Why am I not there? You're like, it's a benefit. I'm like, I'll pay for it. I always need to be on the list.
Oh, my God. I think Will did ask us to do a benefit in San Diego one time.
Yeah.
And, of course, we said yes, and we were down there. And it was a pretty good lineup. Pat Walsh went down there with no – and it was a high ticket, like $300 plate.
Yeah.
Fancy pantsy.
Yeah.
And Pat knew he could get in without paying. He's not paying that much money. And he went up to, like, the tables, you know.
Yeah.
And just, yes, I'm here with Kyle. You know, he was dressed nicely, and it was very pleasant.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't put me on that. Yeah. And she's like, oh, please just go right in, you know.
Oh.
He totally, because if you're well appointed and you talk and you're one of those, no one would ever do that at one of
those. He looks like a guy like that too.
Like
he could be your manager.
He looks like a guy that I forgot to put on a list.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I always laughed at that, and I didn't know that he was coming. And then I saw, and I saw him. I was like, oh my God, Pat, how did you get it? He was right in the middle too. It was a small like a 200 person.
Those are good shows always too, because you don't have to play, you only have to play like five songs.
No, it's the good vibes.
Good
no
vibes.
When you're doing a benefit, everyone's on board. You can't fail because you've already done your hero work. It's like, yeah, I'm kicking ass, I'm helping out, so
right, just by showing up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You know, that's half the battle. Jumping Jack Black is the most iconic, I think, Keith Richards riff of all time.
Guitar riff of all time.
I knew what it was right away. It was like dee 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 Jack Black.
Yeah, well, it is the iconic and also most the simplest. of I think it's three notes. Yeah, it's just three up and down.
And like, dude, I saw the Stones.
What is that? And you know the story behind that, that he had that.
He was, Keith was up late on just, you know, taping shit on his recorder. And then he just fell asleep. But there's one more that he got. And he put that one down. He fell asleep. Next morning,
yeah,
goes, nothing. End of the tape.
Nothing.
There it is.
And there it was. And
wait, was that on that? That was not on.
I don't think I told that story properly, but there was something about him.
I know what you mean. Like, he was laying down tracks,
but he sort of laid it and forgot about it, and then drunken stupor, passed out, and then. But that just means that you just, that was great that you recorded it.
You know what I say, Kyle? Always record. Okay. Oh, maybe that should be the name of this episode.
That's
what, always record
and
scene.
This is the greatest and best song in the world. Tribute.
That's what Ari Melber did. That's what Ari Melber. And he was like, and if it's not actually about that, then it would be a celebrating of another thing would be a
tribute. Like, why would I be
excited to have you lead me into my own stuff? Like, that's it's like when fans do bits back at you, like they think that you've been waiting for that all day,
right?
You redo a bit that you did years ago. I mean, it's always like, I love that you remember, but
I've gotten that a few like lines thrown at me, and then they'll look at me like they want a reaction. I'm like, oh yeah, that was one of my lines. Oh my god, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. I guess. Thank you.
I think my new jam on that is like on the gram comments. I'll go, I'll just name it. Like, yes, that's POD or just whatever it is.
And like, right.
But nothing more.
They'll say, yeah, like Kyle's fingers be silver, Jack's supposed to be gold.
I just, yeah. I'll just history. Maybe a thumbs up. I don't know. Yeah. You got it. Have Spike do any work is like, wait, hold on, I'm not sure we're doing this. Okay,
right.
No, I'm back in. And but it's also a running joke because, you know, over the years Spike and I've had projects that go and projects that don't, and you know,
don't you remember Farmhouse Jubilee, our animated project that we wrote and wrote a title song for?
Spike, could you cue that? I love that song.
Hey kids, who wants to have some fun? Come along. Where are we going?
Where are we going?
The farmhouse.
Come along with me, there's a place I know where fresh corn, tomatoes, and pumpkins grow. There's a big red barn where the rooster crows, spreading morning cheer across the meadow.
I think we did it.
Let's close out a song. Let's go wrap up postmortem.
I thought it went pretty well. We were a little rambling today.
A little rambly. Definitely was too tired.
I'm kind of tired definitely too. You know what? We did too late in the day.
Yeah.
Look how dark it is.
Yeah, it's getting dark.
We're a little better when we're fresh.
Yeah.
But that said, I felt like we got into some interesting subjects about benefits.
Well, you'll see. I think the more that we just
our family.
At the farm you can be who you wanna be.
A dolphin.
An eagle.
Even a tree.
In the big wide world there's so much to see. Let us celebrate.
Variety.
Look at that sky. Keep your head up high. Be yourself and nobody else. Friends are here and by your side. Join our farm. Over.